We'll go on for a few minutes reflecting on Paul's letter to the Romans. This is the, you know, we began, I'm not ashamed of the good news. It's the power of God unto salvation. Jews first, then Greek. Now he's starting to talk about everybody needing salvation through faith. And so we went from there through all that panorama of the pagan culture and the darkness, the weight, the despair, the vice in that culture. It's a cultural sin. He's not saying every single person was like this, because there were some who were not, who were faithful to the hidden grace of God. But many were. It was a culture, what Aquinas calls someplace, the culture of concupiscence. When we lose God, this is what happens. Then, as you heard yesterday, he turns to the Jews and says, you're no better. And now he's ready, and then today, finally, he starts to talk about salvation. And so he starts now. What now? The now of the Messianic age. Now. The righteousness of God has been made known apart from the law, though testified to it by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Now we come upon one of the hardest words to translate, this word righteousness. It used to be the old Latin translates it justitia, justice. This is what scared the daylights out of Luther. If he had read St. Thomas, he would have been okay. Aquinas gets it, and he gets it from a man by the name of Ambrosiaster. We don't know his name. It looked like Ambrose's work, so it was called Ambrose for a long time. And it's not Ambrose, it's Ambrosiaster, whoever he is. And he'll get credit in heaven for sure. You have to understand justice, and that may be as far as we'll get this morning. Justice is honoring the truth of every relationship. That's justice. When I fail to honor the truth of a relationship, honor those who are in authority over me. Be faithful to those to whom I've committed myself. See, that's a sin against justice. St. Thomas has an interesting text. He's talking about affability. And he says affability is a part of justice because people have a right to our affability. You know, if I have a headache and I smile, that's what I must do. That's not out of the abundance of my great whatever. You have a right to it. You don't have a right to my mood. I don't either. You see, it's justice. Well now, what's the norm for God's justice? Himself. Himself, to be faithful to who he is. That's his justice. Now he exercises that justice by being faithful to his promises. Isn't that marvelous? Now, Ambrosiaster and everyone who's followed him, including Aquinas, says, and of course it's much easier now because our fathers didn't read the text in Hebrew for the most part. But in Hebrew, in Isaiah, there are places where the word tzedek, which is the word for justice, rhymes with salvation and words like that. That is, my salvation is fast approaching, my justice is on its way. What can justice possibly mean there except salvation? God's fidelity to his promises. So that's why it says the righteousness, the fidelity of God to his promises has been made manifest apart from the law, for the law testified to it, and so did the prophets. This fidelity, this tzedek of God, through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. So how do we open ourselves up to this righteousness of God? We accept the truth of the redemption brought by Jesus Christ on the cross. I would suppose by now, most of us, all of us, we will have been justified by faith. But it's about time we really did it. Stop and pray. And look at Jesus on the cross and say to God the Father, I accept the salvation that you give me through Jesus' act of love on the cross, given to me by your Holy Spirit. I accept it. I know that I am right-wised. I have been justified. I have been placed in the right relationship to you by the blood of your Son. That's how. And it doesn't hurt to really sit and pray that. It's foundational. Is that clear? See, this is a very key text, and we shouldn't like skate over it and not do it. Accept this gift of salvation through the cross of Jesus Christ by looking at the cross and seeing God's act, the Father's act, and accepting the fruit of it in faith. I believe you are. I believe Jesus is your Son. I believe that he died and took away my sin, and I thank you for it. That's what it means to be justified. And that's why he says there's no distinction. All have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. The kavod, the glory, the doxa of God is his radiant saving presence. See, all you really need to get, and Paul can be tough at times. St. Jerome, they say, would sometimes take a manuscript of Paul and throw it across his cave and say, Paul, you don't want to be understood. Because he can be. You know, his thinking is so abundant and so... Anyhow, you see? So then he goes on to say, we're justified freely by his graciousness, and through the redemption in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as an expiation. That is, set forth the mercy seat that's over the ark. The place that's sprinkled with blood on Yom Kippur. Jesus is that place, and he's sprinkled with his own blood, and he has brought salvation and expiation, not just for the Jewish people once a year, but for all humanity for all time. Now God did this to prove his righteousness, to prove his justice. Because of the forgiveness of sins previously committed through the forbearance of God, to prove his righteousness, his justice in the present time, that he might be righteous or shown to be righteous. And now this is the same word, you see, and justify the one, that he might be just and justify the one. See how he's working with this one word, justice, tzedek. You see. And how do we establish the right relationship to God? Abraham already told us. He believed God, and it was credited to him as justice, right? As righteousness. So we look on this cross and we say, there is my salvation. There is the salvation of the whole world. I believe you. I believe that you offer this to me freely. Freely.